Started hearing the beginning of the pastime of killing a putana. All we heard the importance and glories of hearing. I think Pinky also needs one. No. Yes. Finally, after hearing the glories of the pastimes of Krishna, King, as Prabhupada said, we did this, I think. No, we didn't. My Lord, Sukhita Goswami, all the various activities exhibited by the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are certainly pleasing to the ear and to the mind. Simply by one's hearing of these activities, the dirty things in one's mind immediately vanish. Generally, we are reluctant to hear about the activities of the Lord. But Krishna's childhood activities are so attractive that they are automatically pleasing to the mind and ear. Thus, one's attachment to hearing about material things, which is the root cause of material existence, vanishes, and one gradually develops devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Attachment to Him and in friendship with devotees will give us the contribution of Krishna consciousness. If you think it fit, kindly speak about the activities of the Lord. Isn't it interesting how Maharaj Prabhupada said that hearing about materialistic, hearing about material things, which it is the root cause of material existence. At the very root, at the core of material existence is the hearing about material things. Why? Because when we hear about material things, attachment and aversion develop. I want, I don't want. And icha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata. But this is the duality that binds everyone, thinking that one situation in the material world is very good and desiring it, and another situation in the material world is not good and I don't want it. In this way, we continuously live on the mental platform. Wanting and not wanting, it's been said that if to think about the present, just what I'm doing now, moving my hand forward, turning the pages of the book, if we have our mind on the present, the mind has to be peaceful. So which mode of material nature is that? Goodness. And if we're always thinking about the past and thinking, oh, should have done this, I should have done that, oh, only if this had happened, that's lamentation. And that's the mode of ignorance. And always thinking about the future, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and later on I'm going to plan this and scheme that and get this and get that, and then that's going to happen, and when that happens and that happens and that's going to happen. That's the plan-making mode. And which is that? Desiring, passion. So because we are so dominated in Kali Yuga by passion and ignorance, we never are where we are, and especially if we have a mobile phone with us, because then you can see this all the time. People just walking down the road, and especially when they don't, when they have the hands free, so they're going. And they're everywhere, but not where they are. So if you're not where you are, you are where you're not. That's too difficult. And our minds are never, or very rarely in the mode of goodness. So it's so hard to observe our mind. So this is the root cause of material existence, because we hear so many material things and make so many material plans, and attachment to hearing about material things vanishes when we hear Krishna Katha. Then attachment for him comes. So please, Maharaj Prakrit asks, because he's going to leave this world very soon. Now it's the seventh chapter of the 10th canto, so it's getting closer to the time he's going to leave. So the last thing he wants is to develop a material attachment, because if you're going to die very soon, what's the use of having a material attachment? You can't have it fulfilled, and it just causes lamentation and longing. So please speak about those activities of the Lord. I think one more cup is required. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As stated in the Prima Vavarta, Krishna Bahirmukh Haya Bhogavan Jakare Nikatasta Maya Hare Jakatiya Dhare. Our material existence is maya, or illusion, in which we desire different varieties of material enjoyment. And therefore we change to different varieties of bodies. So all the different thoughts that we have in our plan making, because that we're not always so aware of what we're thinking, we tend to think it's just innocent and not harmful. But actually, if we accept that we're eternal souls, and that according to our desires, we will take a next body, then it is not innocent at all. And especially if the mind becomes habituated as a constant habit of thinking and planning and scheming, and it's always so amazing, because it's desiring, and we think that this person said this, and then I said that, and we end up just having these conversations in our mind. But who are we talking to? We're just talking to ourselves. Just talking one. Remembrance in the mind talking to another, and in this way the mind keeps us bewildered 24 hours a day, practically speaking. The only time we're not bewildered by the mind is when we're sleeping, because we're so bewildered by the mode of ignorance we can't even hear the mind. So our material existence is maya, or illusion, in which we desire different varieties of material enjoyment, and therefore change to different varieties of bodies. Sabhutani yantra rudhani mayaya asana place sadeha. As long as we have these temporary bodies, many varieties of tribulations, adhyatmika, adhibhautika, and adhidhaivika. This is the root cause of all suffering, which is the body. But this root cause of suffering can be removed by revival of our Krishna consciousness. All the Vedic literatures presented by Vyasadeva and other great sages are therefore intended to revive. What does revive mean? Yes. Literally, bring us back again to life. So, all the Vedic literatures are intended to revive our Krishna consciousness, which begins to revive with Shravana Kirtanam. Shravana Shrimati Bhagavatam Krishna, Bhagavatam 1:2:17. Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic literatures exist simply to give us a chance to hear about Krishna. Krishna's different avatars or incarnations, all of which are wonderful, which arouse one's inquisitiveness. What does that mean, that they arouse our inquisitiveness? Do we usually think of that the avatars arouse our inquisitiveness?
Arouse our inquisitiveness about realms beyond our existence.
What's another word for inquisitiveness?
Curiosity.
Yeah, curiosity, like that inquiry. What is it? What about this? And what about that? So it's very good, because the mind starts getting entangled in the avatars. If we're not curious, inquisitive or curious about the spiritual realm and spiritual beings, then naturally the mind is going to be inquisitive and curious about this material realm, and the result of that is not innocent again. Krishna has different avatars or incarnations, all of which are wonderful, which arouse one's inquisitiveness. But generally, such avatars as Matsya. Matsya is so a fish incarnation of God. What could possibly be inquisitive or interesting about that? A talking fish, no less, he teaches the natives, and he pulls a boat across the ocean of devastation by the horn. Yeah. Ah, exactly. So, and then much such as Matsya, Korma, and Varaha. Generally, such avatars as Matsya, Korma, and Varaha are not as attractive as Krishna. Why did Prabhupada say generally?
Some devotees
may be attracted to Matsya, Korma, or Varaha, as and they have eternal relationship with him, with these avatars. But generally, when devotees hear about Krishna's avatars, they become more attracted and more curious, because his pastimes are so attractive. First of all, we have no attraction to hearing about Krishna, and this is the root cause of our suffering. This is very similar to what the lamentation that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave in the second verse of Sri Kastakam.
Unfortunate as I am,
I have no attraction for your holy name, even though you are so generous in bestowing upon anyone who hears them your lordship. I'm so unfortunate, I have no attraction for them. First of all, we have no attraction for hearing about Krishna. This is the root cause of our suffering, because the hearing about Krishna is the watering of the root of our devotion. The Parikshit Maharaj specifically mentions that the wonderful activities of baby Krishna, which amazed Mother Yashoda and the other inhabitants of Braja, are especially attractive. From the very beginning of his childhood, who is the first demon that Krishna killed?
Putra.
So at the very beginning of his childhood, Krishna killed Putra, Trinavata, Sankatasura, and showed the entire universe with his mouth. Thus the pastimes of Krishna, one after another, kept Mother Yashoda and all the inhabitants of Braja in great astonishment. The process to revive one's Krishna consciousness is of those Shraddha, Tathasadhu, Sangha, Bhakti Samatha Sindhu. The pastimes of Krishna can be properly received from devotees. If one has developed a little bit of Krishna consciousness by hearing from Vaishnavas about the activities of Krishna, one becomes attached to Vaishnavas who are interested only in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Prabhupada Maharaj recommends that one hear about Krishna's childhood activities, which are more attractive than the activities of other incarnations, such as Matsya, Koma, and Varaha. Wanting to hear more and more from Sukadeva Goswami, Maharaj Prabhupada requested him to continue describing Krishna's childhood activities, which are especially easy to hear and which create more and more inquisitiveness. Please describe other pastimes of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared on this planet Earth, imitating a human child and performing wonderful activities like killing Putra. Maharaj Prabhupada requested Sukadeva Goswami to narrate other childhood pastimes exhibited by Krishna while playing as a human being, human child. The Supreme Personality of Godhead incarnates at different times in different planets and universes, and according to the nature of those places, he exhibits his unlimited potency. So he exhibits his unlimited potency, but not, he's always unlimited, but according to the nature of the place. In the times, he exhibits different aspects of his unlimited nature. And because he has an unlimited nature that has unlimited potency, he has unlimited ways to exhibit his unlimited self. So if one becomes interested in hearing about Krishna, then there's no question of boredom, because he's unlimited. That a child sitting on the lap of his mother was able to sing as a Putana is extremely wonderful for the inhabitants of this planet. On the other planets, the inhabitants are more advanced, and therefore the pastimes the Lord performs are still more wonderful. Does that make you curious? Well, if you're curious enough to start speculating, what are these pastimes like that are more wonderful? Anyone know? Anyone has visited?
Well, if the Brahma here has only four heads, because this is a small planet, a universe, and if there are other Brahmas with millions of heads, everything must be smaller than small.
Oh yeah, in physical size too.
Physical size and, you know, just variegated.
So, yes. So when a Brahma with a million heads offers his prayer, Krishna's appearance on this planet like a human being makes us more fortunate than the demigods in the higher planets. And therefore Maharaj Pratap was very much interested in hearing about Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami said, and Mother Yasoda's baby, who is Mother Yasoda's baby? Was slanting his body to attempt to rise and turn around. This attempt was observed by a Vedic ceremony. And such a ceremony, called Uttan, which is performed when a child is due to leave the house for the first time, the child is properly bathed. So that's the indication that it's time for the child to leave the house for the first time, when he turns over for the first time. And then the child is properly bathed. Up to that time, his body is too delicate to be bathed properly. So just after Krishna turned 3 months old, Mother Yasoda celebrated this ceremony with the other women of the neighborhood. On that day, there was a conjunction of the moon with the constellation Rohini, the nakshatra Rohini. And the Brahman is joined by chanting Vedic hymns, and professional musicians also took part. This great ceremony was observed by Mother Yasoda. After completing the bathing ceremony for the child, Mother Yasoda received the Brahmanas by worshipping them with proper respect and giving them ample food grains and other eatables, clothing, desirable cows and garments. The Brahmins properly chanted Vedic hymns to observe the auspicious ceremony, and their chanting of Vedic hymns made the ceremony auspicious. And when they finished, and Mother Yasoda saw that the child felt sleepy, she lay down on the bed with the child until he was peacefully asleep. So then she got up to attend to her other household affairs. The liberal Mother Yasoda, absorbed in celebrating the Uttana ceremony, was busy receiving guests, worshipping them with all respect, offering them clothing, flowers, garlands, and grains. So when this type of charity is going on, and the Brahmins are chanting, and of course Krishna is right there, the atmosphere is so auspicious, and everyone is so happy. So then, in the midst of all this happy celebrating, Mother Yasoda was the hostess. She could not hear the child crying for mother. At that time, the child Krishna demanded to drink the milk of his mother's breast, and he angrily threw his legs upward. Because it's quite hot at this time. If this is 3 months after Krishna's birth, so Krishna is born in what month? Let's see. Yeah, good. The 8th day of which month is it? But it's always in the lunar month. So in any case, so it's still hot. So to shade the child from the sun, she put him underneath a cart, a household hand cart. But this hand cart was actually another form of Shakatasura, a demon who had come there to kill the child. This called Shakatasura saw that Putana had taken the form of a witch, or of a beautiful lady. She had accepted a form. She was actually very horrible in appearance. She was horrible, and very big and horrible, and had matted hair, and was a Rakshasi. And of course, and she was going around killing children in that form. But then when she went to Maharaj's house, she was afraid of the warriors that protected the village of Nanda Maharaj, because they threw Narayan arrows They knew how to shoot their iron arrows. They were powerful warriors, so she took the form of a beautiful lady, like a second Lakshmi Devi. But she had to accept the form. So Shakatasura knew, Mr. Sura knew that Kunjana had been killed because she had accepted the form. So he decided to come there by his own power in a formless way. And when he was formless and saw that Krishna was underneath the cart that held the utensils and was protecting him from the sun, and that he was not, and Krishna wasn't being protected by his mother or anything, he entered the cart and assumed the form of the cart. And then the cart was very high off the ground and the wheels were very high, and Krishna was underneath it. But when the demon entered the cart, it became heavier. And therefore, Krishna became angry. Because the cart demon was right there and approaching him, trying to kill him. But under the pretext of being angry, because he wanted to drink his mother's milk. Remember, he's just a tiny child. And a little child has tender legs. And just by the children, when they cry, the little 3-month-year-old child on his back crying, kicking his legs, his tender legs, and the cart had sunk down deeper. And just by the kicking, because of Krishna's arrangement, the cart sunk very deeper, so he didn't have to kick his legs very, very, very high, which would have been inconvenient. So it was down low, and he just kicked his legs like that. But to be kicked by someone who's unlimitedly powerful is far different than being kicked by a little 3-month child who has, of course, no. Because the child who's 3 months, his legs aren't even powerful enough to support his body to walk. But what the echo of Krishna's legs kicked that cart like that. The cart went flying. Broke the cart. And all the utensils, all the brass utensils. Did you wash your hands? Go and wash your hands and come back. So, the unlimited power, it was a great racket, so much sound because all the brass pots and everything, the hand cart, very good boy. Everything fell to the ground. And this was in the middle of a festival, and suddenly everyone, the Brahmins are chanting their prayers, and Mother Yasoda is giving gifts and charity, and the mood is so auspicious, and suddenly there's this tumultuous sound of all the pots falling to the ground, and the cart is broken here and there.
So Krishna angrily threw his legs up because he wanted to drink milk. Krishna had been placed underneath a household handcart. But this handcart was actually another form of Shakatasura. A demon who had come there to kill the child. Now on the plea, what does that mean? The plea, because of the excuse of demanding to suck his mother's breast, Krishna took this opportunity to kill the demon. Thus, he kicked Shakatasura just to expose him. Although Krishna's mother was engaged in receiving guests, Lord Krishna wanted to draw her attention by killing the Shakatasura, and therefore he kicked that cart-shaped demon. Such are the pastimes of Krishna. Krishna wanted to draw the attention of his mother, and while doing so, he created great havoc, not understandable by ordinary persons. They couldn't understand what happened. Why?
How did this cart get knocked over, and all the utensils and metal pots and everything? How did they all come crashing down? Because it takes so much strength to do this.
And there was a little baby underneath the cart. Is it possible that this little baby could have done it? How is that possible?
So, but while doing so, he created a great havoc not understandable by ordinary persons. Ordinary persons means those who don't understand that Krishna, or in thinking in the way that Krishna was unlimited and powerful. These narrations are wonderfully enjoyable, and those who are fortunate are struck with wonder upon hearing of these extraordinary activities of the Lord. There's ordinary and extraordinary, beyond ordinary. Now, what happens if someone thinks, it sounds extraordinary, but are they really true? Is this just some kind of a story? Just a story that people of ancient times told to amuse the little children? Probably answers that question here. Although the less intelligent regard these stories or these pastimes as mythological, because a dull brain cannot understand them, they are facts. They are real facts. These narrations are actually so enjoyable and enlightening that Maharaj Prickett and Sukadev Goswami took pleasure in them. And other liberated persons, following in their footsteps, become fully jubilant by hearing about the wonderful activities of the Lord. So this is really the only way that I've heard Prabhupada answer the question about, are these mythological or are they true? Because how can you prove to someone that they're true and not just stories? You can say, well, they are true. Or they say, well, I don't think so. Are they true because they're in the Shastra? Well, that's your Shastra. That's your books. How do we know that the books are true? How do you know that someone can just make them up and write them down? So whatever answers are given on that level, you can't ultimately convince. But Prabhupada is explaining a very convincing argument here that great liberated persons, they become so absorbed in these pastimes and they become jubilant, and they can listen to them, think about them, and hear about them, and become absorbed in thoughts of them 24 hours a day, and they're so happy and thrilled by doing this that they forget all about material life. They forget their material necessities and not feeling any lack. They forget them because those things become irrelevant to them, to each other, insignificant. So if they're just material and common, like some made up story, such as Mickey the Mouse and Donald the Duck, famous, and there's contemporary ones too. But how long does anyone become absorbed thinking about Mickey the Mouse and just so happy and thrilled by doing that? I mean, even the artists who create them, who draw the pictures and everything, if you don't pay them, they won't do it. Because there is no ecstasy, there's no spiritual content. It is just mythology. It is just some story, made up story. So no one, after you become more than 4 or 5 years old, you give that up, these silly stories. So it's excellent for a little child, but when someone becomes older, this is one of the first things they do. They give up those stories and move to some other kind of stories. But those Swamis, another great story, just think about Krishna's pastimes and become absorbed in them,
and feel full satisfaction, a full life on every level of transcendental happiness. So the fact that there were and are such personalities is the greatest proof that Haridas Thakur could chant the names of Krishna practically 24 hours a day and not feel it was boring. This is such a great proof. Can someone do this, chanting these made up characters' names? If anyone wants to make an experiment.
Only if you have a competition. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you have a competition to say, can anyone do this? And then they're doing it for the reward.
No, I think no one can do it.
Of course, but if you're going to do an extended beyond human effort in anything, not for the taste of the thing which they
Okay. But I'm saying that even for $1 million, people can't do it. Sitting and saying, Donald Duck, Minnie Mouse. Very exciting, yes? You just can't, it doesn't have a thrill to it. Because, and it keeps changing too, over the years, because when you get bored of one cat, one fictional character, you have to turn to another.
And even Simpson.
What did you say?
Simpson.
Simpson. Yes, Simpson, Simpson, Harry Simpson. Harry Simpson, Simpson, Simpson. At least Harry. What's his name? Fred? He used to be Flintstones. And Popeye the Sailor. No one wants to hear about Popeye the Sailor. Popeye, because the guy who's full of pop.
New stories, there has to be something changing all the time. If it's not the character, it'll be the lower part or something. But this is the same mantra, the same process, changing all the time. There's nothing different.
And they say that you're hypnotizing your mind. Only if.
It was that easy.
So, therefore, that was Prabhupada's answer actually. These narrations are actually so enjoyable and enlightening that Maharaj Pritha and Sukadeva Goswami took pleasure in them. You never hear anyone who's dying, you know, they just want, please bring me Mickey Mouse comic books. Please, I beg you to tell me more and more about that mouse, because I'm experiencing newer and newer pleasure by hearing that Mickey. So it's actually so enjoyable and enlightening. The Maharaj Pritha and Sukadeva Goswami took pleasure in them, and other liberated persons following in their footsteps become so jubilant by hearing about the wonderful activities of the Lord. Now, so Lord Sri Krishna was lying down underneath the handcart in one corner of the courtyard, and above his little legs were as soft as leaves. So the leaves are so soft. When he struck the cart with his legs, it turned over violently and collapsed. Because even when Krishna is little, his legs are unlimitedly powerful. The wheels separated from the axle, so he just touched it with his little legs. The wheels separated from the axle, the hubs and spokes fell apart, and the pole of the handcart broke. On the cart were many little utensils made of various metals, and all of them scattered. How do you say everywhere in an interesting way. And even a little more. Yes, hither and thither. Yes. And all of them scattered hither and thither. That's a good word, yeah? Hither and thither. It has the sounds to it, too. Purport. Srila Vishnu Sakamati Thakur has commented on this verse as follows. When Krishna was of a very tender age, his hands and legs resembled soft new leaves. And simply by touching the hand cart with his legs, he made the cart fall to pieces. It was quite possible for him to act in this way and yet not exert himself very much. The Lord, in his Vamana avatar, had to extend his foot to the greatest height to penetrate the covering of the universe. And when the Lord killed the gigantic demon Hiranyakashipu, he had to assume the special bodily feature of the Nrisimhadev. But in his Krishna avatar, the Lord did not need to exert this energy. Therefore, Krishna is too Bhagavan. Sayam. Krishna is the Supreme Person of the Godhead himself. In other incarnations, the Lord had to exert some energy according to the time and circumstances, but in this form, he exhibited unlimited potency. Thus, the handcart collapsed, its joints broken, and all the metals, pots, and utensils scattered. The Vaishnava Toshini remarks that when the handcart was higher than the child, the child could easily touch the wheel of the cart, and this was sufficient to send the demon down to the earth. The Lord simultaneously pushed the demon to the earth and superficially broke the hand cart. Now, Mother Yasoda, see these pastimes of Krishna's just after his birth, the most prominent figure in the pastime, of course, is Krishna. He is the beloved. Krishna is the beloved. And the great lover, the Ashraya Tattva, is Madhya Yasoda. So, Madhya Yasoda is so glorified in these pastimes because her love for Krishna was so complete. And it was so full. So, we can just imagine that Madhya Yasoda very innocently put her beloved Krishna, because mothers naturally love their children, but when the child is all attractive and all and the mother is the eternal associate of Krishna, we can't imagine what kind of love existed between the mother and the child, but it's complete, full absorption. So she is called Radhika. That means that she's full to the highest degree of rag, or natural attraction for Krishna. Spontaneous, natural, complete, full absorption and attraction for Krishna. So she placed the child underneath the cart, and she was holding the auspicious ceremony just for him, for his welfare. It's only for him. And then he was tired, so she lied down with him and then placed him under the cart where he would be protected from the sun, and then she went off to make the occasion more auspicious for him by giving charity and doing good to all the guests, keeping everyone happy so that they would bless Krishna. And then suddenly there's a loud, whole cart goes flying, and not only was it visually, the first thing is you hear the sound of the utensils flying everywhere because they're all metal. So just imagine the immediate anxiety that Madhya Yasoda is in, because where there is prema, there is anxiety. Very different from shantaras, where you do anything to avoid anxiety. But when there is prema, there must be anxiety, not for oneself, but for the beloved, because there is the full absorption of the consciousness in the beloved, and the beloved is Krishna. So there was this racket of the noise and the pots and the utensils being scattered hither and thither, and Mahavishnu was in complete anxiety. And Mother Yasoda, the ladies who had assembled at the Uttana festival, and all the men headed by Nandamar saw the wonderful situation. They began to wonder how the handcart had collapsed by itself. They began to wander here and there, trying to find the cause, but they were unable to do so. The assembled coward men and ladies began to contemplate how this thing had happened. Because they are village people, so they say, is this the work of some demon, or is it some evil planet? They asked, how could this possibly have happened? The cart was strong, and at that time there were small children there. They all asserted, that means they made very clear, definite statements, that the cart had been kicked apart by the baby Krishna. And as soon as the crying baby had kicked the cart's wheel, the cart had collapsed. They said there was no doubt about it. We've heard of people being haunted by ghosts. Having no gross material body, a ghost seeks shelter of a gross body to stay in and haunt. The Shakatasura was a ghost who had taken shelter of the handcart and was looking for the opportunity to do mischief to Krishna. And when Krishna kicked the cart with his small and very delicate legs that were just like leaf, a new grown leaf. Soon it will be lukewarm leaf time. Yes? And they come out and they're very soft and tender and they unfurl and their color is quite wonderful and it's all fresh, and by the end of the season the leaves are old and wrinkled like this. But when they're fresh, for Krishna they're soft and so tender. Krishna's legs and feet and arms and palms were so fresh and tender like leaves. So when Krishna kicked the cart with his small and very delicate legs, the ghost was immediately pushed down to the earth and his shelter dismantled, as already described. This was possible for Krishna because of his full potency, as compared in the Brahma Samhita. Angani yasya sakalendriya vittimanti pasyanti panti kalayanti charam japanti ananda chinmaya sarujjala vigrahasya govindamari purusham tamaham vajami. Krishna's body is Satchidananda Vigraha, or Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Vigraha. It is any part of his Ananda Chinmaya body can act for any other part. Such are the inconceivable potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord does not need to acquire these potencies. He already has them. Sometimes people think, if I perform this meditation or I do this yoga of sorts, then I will become God. But Krishna is not that kind of God that he has to become. He already is. So if one can become God, that means, or the, Well, we're all God and have forgotten. That means that something has made God forget, so he's no longer the supremely powerful. Or we make the argument that, well, we can become God then. We're not God and have forgotten, but we're not yet God, but we can become. What do you think of that argument?
What are we now?
A dog. What do you think about that argument?
What are we now? What's this process? It's just a question in check. How to imagine that to make such a...
What are we now? What are we now? Dog. Can dog become God just by changing a few letters? Quite unlikely. Because God means all powerful. How could something that's not all powerful become all powerful?
Then God is not being used to signify a person. God is being used to signify a
a what?
A state of being.
Which is impersonal, isn't it? Again.
It can't be personal.
It doesn't make sense that something that's insignificant can become all powerful. It can become a little bit more significant, but it's hard to believe that you could, that you'd have to become, you can become all powerful. That means all knowing everything. No. Don't believe it. What do you think? Unlikely. No way. No way, right? In New York they do that. Hey, you see that piece over there? You want to buy it? I'll give you a special price on it. Buy Brooklyn Bridge. That's the only tourist's law. Excuse me?
What about where we see a spark ignite a massive bushfire that's from the small to something totally...
What about that? What do you think? But is that the same as becoming all powerful? A massive bushfire?
In comparison, I mean, like something so small.
So you could become bigger, okay. But everything? Where does the spark become everything? And also, the spark itself didn't become everything, it something else. So, what is, so how does the metaphor? How is the parallel an example?
Where did the spark come from? It came from the fire
What is the spark igniting in this parallel thing?
A massive amount of fuel.
Okay, so it's the fuel.
Another element. There's another element.
It's confusing. It doesn't seem the same because you can become, it's not you becoming, Yeah, it doesn't, it's not parallel. It doesn't seem.
And the circumstances would have to be right, and would only happen under very specific circumstances, so it wouldn't be able to happen to everyone. Maybe reality. You could do it, but you won't find where a small separated particle
becomes itself by its own power, becomes
that's
everything.
Right. That's right. You can get transformation, but you won't find where that becomes something.
So what are you consuming? So it's being said that you by yourself, you're just meditating, you become everything.
There's no precedent in this.
Yeah,
what about a drop of water? You know, it goes into the ocean, it becomes everything.
The drop doesn't become everything. It doesn't become the whole ocean.
No.
It loses. Yes. You could say that it loses its. Okay, that's okay. That's another thing.
Yeah.
That's another thing. It loses its own substance. It loses its individual substance. But so is that what they're saying?
No, they're saying that there's something which is currently minute but has a latent potency to become unlimited.
Even then, you said one ocean is a small vacuum. Well, what is an ocean as against infinite powers of the Lord? There's nothing. Can't compare
it to their this material example. The ocean is just nothing. That ocean is nothing. From its poles, planets are coming. The universe is coming. How are you coming? Also, you can put, well, the drop, you can put it in a symbol and it will become a symbol. Why does it doesn't have to become the ocean? Kill your philosophy. And then what happens to individuality when you put in there?
Once it becomes the ocean, it doesn't have any power of separateness. So you don't have anyone, you can't even discern yourself anymore.
Well, that's what they're saying. That's what they say. But we say, but the drop didn't have any consciousness in the first place. It didn't have any individuality in the first place. So there was nothing to lose. If you change the example to make it more accurate, so if you put a fish in a bucket, and then you take away the bucket and the water goes into the water, the fish is still there. The living entity in the water is still there. So that would be more powerful.
Swim in the ocean, as far as
he doesn't become the ocean. He doesn't become all fish. He doesn't become the water. He is fish, water is water. It doesn't work. So in any case.
Let's try again. There's an argument against the really strong arguments against it that make it just the
mental concoction. Wishful thinking. Why do you want to get rid of your individuality so much anyway?
You want to become greater.
You can become greater, but then you're not greater. If you get rid of your individuality, you're less, because you don't have any individuality. You lose what you have.
And Prabhupada would give these arguments to people, they didn't hear what you said, and they repeat again the same thing. You could follow his simple logic because they were bent on something logical that they.
I would think the city's philosophy is a sense of restriction.
Restriction?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Restricted. Embodied life and then strain.
So they want to get out.
Freedom.
But also they feel that if you're going to say that God is a baby, we've seen so many babies, and they have a baby as well.
But he's a special baby.
Yeah. But that they,
he's the most
baby,
beautiful baby.
I'm not sure if they believe what he's worth.
Well, that's then we go back to that other point about what it would say. Although less intelligent, we call them as mythological because the dull brain cannot understand them. They're real facts. So because you can't understand them, doesn't necessarily mean that they're not true. Because you say they're mythological, it doesn't mean that it's not true. Just like there may be some planet so far in outer space that the scientists have seen, and you may not have seen it, so you may doubt that it exists, but just because you doubt it exists doesn't have anything to do with whether it exists or not.
And if you were scientifically minded, you go to websites like the NASA website and you hear, you know, Dr. So-and-so place, you know, with his credentials, said such and such, and you don't know anything, so you just take that in.
You tend to believe
it. The same principle as you're saying, that neither forward authority.
It's a prophecy. This great, degraded person, just by hearing these wonderful activities of the Lord, they became fully jubilant. So the nearby children saw that actually Krishna had kicked the wheel of the cart, and this is how the accident happened. By the arrangement of Yogamaya, all the gopis and gopas thought that the accident had taken place because of some big planet or some ghost, but in fact everything was done by Krishna
and everything was enjoyed by him. Those who enjoy the activities of Krishna are also on the platform of Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. They are liberated from the material platform, and this is the great challenge of our life, to somehow always keep ourselves in contact with Krishna Katha, and always keep our consciousness on this level, and never ever come down to the dull material level. This is the real challenge of life, either by chanting, or by hearing, or by speaking, or by serving. There are 9 different forms of devotional service: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Kadasevanam, Arjanabandhanam, Satyam, Atmanavedanam. One way or another, if we can keep our consciousness absorbed in any of these, or 2 of them, or 4 of them, or 9 of them, or 1 of them, but the whole question is absorption. So therefore Prabhupada says, one who enjoy the, and then we can enjoy the activities of Krishna done, are also on the platform of Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. They are liberated from the material platform. When one develops the practice of hearing Krishna Katha, he is certainly transcendental to material existence. It's confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Sagunan Samatitya Chandramabhyaya Kalpate. Because one is above the material realm. You know that verse? Brahmabhuta Prasanatma Nasavachati Dikasati Javasamiji. No, what is this one? Sagunan Samatitya Chandramabhyaya. What's the beginning of it? Unless one is on the spiritual platform, one cannot enjoy the transcendental activities of Krishna. In other words, one has to be above the material platform. One's consciousness has to be absorbed on a different realm, on the level. And it's not abstract, but in thoughts about the transcendence. So there's different levels that one can do this. One can be jnanis, try to absorb himself in that type of a oneness, a thoughtlessness, or a qualitylessness. The paramatmavadis, the yogis, try to absorb themselves on the paramatma, and the devotees, just by the process of hearing, become, and speaking, and smaranam, become absorbed on the transcendental platform in thoughts of Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So unless one is on the spiritual platform, one cannot enjoy the transcendental activities of Krishna. In other words, whoever engages in hearing the transcendental activities of Krishna is not on the material platform, but on the transcendental spiritual platform. So whoever engages in hearing, so sometimes our bodies are there, our ears are there, and the sound is there, but our consciousness is not actually engaged in hearing. Our consciousness can become engaged in this, those kind of things we spoke about in the beginning, the past, the present, the future, but not involved in the present. The over stimulations of the motor passion or the motor ignorance, we can be thinking about all the things that happened and all the things that will happen, and but what is happening, the hearing. But Krishna Katha, the mind doesn't hear, even though the body may be there. That does happen. So we go in and out of the thinking, as the modes push us around sometimes, but if we get an actual taste and attraction, then we just, like Supadeep Goswami, was so focused, and Maharaj Pickett was so focused because of their purity and their great devotion.
Okay, let's stop here. Any questions or comments?
remarkable that again we see like the intimate childhood, it's like it's the young children were the ones who had the clear by the arrangement of Jagamaya, they were the ones who had the clearest sense in the water taking place.
That also happened where? Where else did that happen?
And with the Indra, when at the end of the Govardhan Lila, when Indra came to make an apology.
And also Nalakavera Manigila.
They just told us it was non-believing.
Because they can think, how could this little boy pull down the trees? And why would these effulgent people? I mean, Krishna's a good boy, you know, we all love him, but why would effulgent people coming from trees? And then they offer prayers and walk around Krishna because he's such a beautiful boy. They did that. Nah, I don't think so.
But it's so that their Vatsalya love, they don't want to see, they're not inclined to be happy to see them independent. And so the boys, you know, he falls right in and
Nanda Maharaj is thinking, how could he be worshiping Krishna? Look at him right now, he's crying and he's holding on to me so tightly and he won't let me go. Nanda Maharaj's heart is just melting. Oh.
Sometimes when there's thunder at night, you know, he comes and cries and gets scared.
And he goes,
How could
he runs to our laps?
He felt like he
He's so naughty. Dhruv, you are naughty or not naughty?
We have not seen any demigods coming and worshipping you nowadays.
Yeah.
It really struck me, frightening, that moment when you cut a little part and sense of what it's how dramatic.
How dramatic, yeah.
Within the circumstance for everyone. And that sort of that sort of dramatic moment of a crash like that, and then as you acknowledge that's where Krishna.
Everyone's afraid. Their heart. Yeah. The fury. This afternoon, when someone was pushing you and trying to keep you in the door, and he cried a little bit. And then mother immediately stopped. Because it's just so natural. If there's any thought of distress for the child, immediately the, because there's love, there's always anxiety.
It must be difficult for the devotees when they are trying to sell the book, especially the Krishna book, to the foreigners, like to the Western country. That mythology point is a bit strong. I think it's a bit difficult for them to.
Well, they can't. To buy the book is one thing. In other words, you can get someone to get the book, and the book itself is supposed to do the convincing. Prabhupada opened the first thing in the Krishna book is George Harrison. George Harrison thinks this is good, so it must be. And Prabhupada's prefaces is very interesting. It starts off, in the Western countries, when someone sees the cover of a book like Krishna, you need to ask, who is Krishna? Who is the girl with Krishna? So immediately.
Yes, who is the girl? And you know, you read the whole thing, he doesn't tell you who the girl is.
least he tells who Krishna is. Who is that girl with Krishna? Maybe you have to read onward. But yes, it's very, it's also in, you know, Westerners have one problem, Indians have another problem. Because they say, yes, yes, we know Krishna, but they think everything is ultimately impersonal. That's the tendency in India.
All is one.
All is one, let's have fun.
It's not difficult for the devotees, whether the foreigners or other, to sell these books and distribute the book. But the higher forces are working in these things, you know. Super soul is there also and here also. Mm. So it inspires. It's not on the basis of conviction, there's no time. You can only speak 1 or 2 minutes to somebody when you offer a book. There's no time to convince.
Mm.
But the super soul is inspiring, I'm like, have it, you know, it's a donation or something.
I don't know, it's true, Adoki, I was thinking of what you were saying, that when we were living in Hong Kong, we couldn't speak Chinese, and we had made a magazine, the Backscratch magazine, and actually later we found out it didn't make any sense, because we had put it together and with people translating who didn't know what they were translating.
Yeah.
And I used to go and distribute them once for an hour every day, I'd go for 1 hour, and I would stand by the ferry where the people were rushing through, coming off the ferry from the island. And I would hold it out like this. And invariably in one hour, almost every day, 30 people would walk by and somebody would grab it. And I would just show them a $1 coin. And probably people grabbed it. And I'd go like this with the $1. And some people would look at it. And then they give it back. And some people look at it, and they didn't even know what they were doing, they're in such a hurry. And they give the dollar, and they keep walking with it. And it was so clearly had nothing to do with any ordinary logic or communication, that they couldn't give anything, like, say, with magazines. So, like, what's this support of what I'm saying? It has nothing to do with Krishna and their heart. One room that Chinese gentleman who rang up, he went on and on and on in Chinese, and we didn't know how to speak Chinese. And he just wanted to know what it was about. And he was very working class. And he came and he came to our meeting, and he couldn't even speak. We were all talking in English. He couldn't even understand English. And he came for a few months like that, and he stayed for a few times. And when somebody came and spoke Chinese and asked him, you know, he said, what is it about? What is it? He didn't know what it was. It didn't make any sense because the translators weren't qualified. And still he was coming. For some period of time, he did that.
Of course, your intention has worked. If you are anxious to please, Prabhupada, by distributing more and more books, the results will come by your efforts also, because then the super soul feels happy if your children are working something or something, he gives the rewards.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean one doesn't have to have make an effort. Effort has to be there.
Then when you try to explain these pictures over here to the people who don't know anything about Krishna, it may be a little difficult. Okay, but let's stop tonight. Hare Krishna.
We ended up in the gallery.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Tradition says.